Welcome to the Catholic Link podcast, the podcast for busy Catholics. My name is Father Rob Adams, and I'm joined by Father George Elliott. Today is our fourth episode of the month, wherein we share our thoughts about things. And last month, we didn't really get to finish up, but we were talking about priest mental health, priest psychology. And I think I have more to say. I'm sure Father George has more to say, so I wanted to bring it back up. You know, last time we talked a lot about some of the frustrations and things that priests sort of go through, but I wanted to talk about something maybe from another side that I don't know if people realize. And that is the immense change in your faith when you become a priest. I don't mean like you believe more or less. I don't mean that. I mean, your experience of Catholicism is fundamentally different as a priest than as it is as a lay person who just participates, right? Because think about it like this. When you're just a Catholic, you go to Mass, you go to confession, you attend parish Bible study, you help visit the sick. You're kind of a part of things, but you join something that exists. I think one thing that's really tough as a priest is all of that changes on you overnight. You don't go to Mass, you say Mass. Most of the time when you're in the confessional, you're the one hearing confessions. And if you're a guy like me, there's no other priest close by. You have to make confession something you get to do. You know, you don't get to go every time you want to. So I remember sometimes when I go to confession, I'll have a priest be like, you know, you need to frequent the sacrament more often. And my response is, I would love to.
It's an hour drive to the closest priest.
Yeah, sorry, man. This is not going to happen. But I think the biggest thing is there's a whole shift in your faith where your faith goes from being something that you get to kind of participate in to you get put in the driver's seat. And there's a whole nother level of stress. There's a whole nother level of speed bumps that you can hit on that road. So, for example, I think a lot of people wonder why priests get burnt out after three Christmas masses. You know, by the third mass, maybe you're not going to use the Roman canon, or you're going to move things along a little quick. And the reason is, it's just your faith is something that you give. It's not something you receive anymore. You know what I mean? Like you are in the driver's seat. You are the one making the calls, and everything sort of sits on you.
Yeah. You know, I was listening to another podcast, and it was a layman who was not Catholic, who went to a Catholic mass one day. And he talked about, he was fascinated by the role of the priest, because the priest was just kind of expected to do, it seemed like a million different things during the mass, right? You know, just from a very human point of view, you know, he's not really going into this with faith. He was like, yeah, this is the guy that, you know, he was essentially the coordinator. He was the one making sure that, okay, the choir's here, the lectors are here, the altar servers are here, everything's ready to go, we're starting on time. He was essentially the MC, right? The guy who's kind of moving it along from one stage to the next. He was singing, right? So he's a musician. He was a preacher, so he's a public speaker. And then also, like, he's obviously trying to pray in the midst of all of this. And then at the end, he's, you know, doing announcements, essentially advertising events, and trying to kind of rally the community to, you know, some sort of a call to action. And, you know, I had never really thought about it, but it was this guy that was just talking about it. He was like, yeah, like, I mean, priests are expected to do a lot. And for priests, we actually have to do that during Mass, right? Which the Mass is still the source and summit of our faith, right? But when so many other practical things get thrown on the priest, then, you know, necessarily we only have so much attention, right? Our brains are limited. And so it's hard for the priest to be fully attentive in the Mass. And yet that's the place from which he should be drawing the most consolation for, you know, the entire his entire life, just like any other Catholic should be doing.
Right. But the reality is it's hard to pull consolation out when you're drowning in stuff.
Right. Yeah. Just a million details.
Like I was joking before we started recording. Sometimes I just want to wear a little name tag that says like, hello, I love you, but please don't talk to me right now.
You know, there's some monasteries that will have people come and visit and make silent retreats. And they actually have little kind of like name tags on like lanyards, but it's very monastic. So it's like a leather strap and, you know, a little wooden cutout thing that just says silence on it. We need those like for the priest before mass. It's just like the symbol of like, don't talk to me right now.
Well, it's not even that I don't want to talk to people, because I like talking to people. It's just really hard for me as a person to shift from talking about people's minutia to like somebody else's minutia to like, I have to fix the air conditioner and the heater to, you know, I got to unlock this door, and also I have to pray.
Yeah.
And I find that a lot of priests sort of, as a result, they learn to not derive that consolation from the mass because we can't get it there.
Yeah. And I think that's that is not only unhealthy for the priest spiritually, but really the psychological element of it comes in. Because then the priest begins to either kind of beat up on himself because he knows he's not praying well through the mass, or even start to see the mass as just like one more thing that you have to do.
Yep.
Right. Which
and then I've been there.
Cool. Oh yeah. I mean, I was talking to you right before we started recording that. I don't know that I did Christmas great. I was so tired. We had midnight mass and then multiple masses on Christmas Day, and I had been sick, and so I was just tired and grumpy and didn't want to be there. I was like, I feel like this is not how I should feel on Christmas, but this is just where I'm at.
Hey, at least you got through it. You know, for me, I set up because I was so dead by the end of it. We only have one Christmas Day mass because it's pretty lightly attended.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got there super early and lit all the candles and set up for mass. And then I just went home, just sat at home until like the very last minute. And I just like walked over and put an alb on and I was ready to go, you know? But I find that the reason I mentioned this whole thing about the way your faith works changes is I think it's hard for people to understand that. Because they'll see a priest struggle, or they'll see a priest have a hard time or get sad, or, you know, God forbid something happens to him. And they say, well, obviously he wasn't praying. Obviously he wasn't taking the faith seriously. And it's not my place to say whether that's right or wrong, because I am not God. It's not my place to judge anybody. But I would like to point out that there are some structural things that can make prayer harder. There are some structural things in the way we run our parishes that can make our priests more sad. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. That just kind of connected to that, you know, trying to think through some solutions. When you examine decent-sized Protestant churches, they almost all always have what's now referred to as an executive pastor, a lead pastor, and like a ministry pastor. Sometimes they'll call it like a kids pastor or
family minister or something like that.
Something of that sort. Yeah. And so, and then, you know, any of the three of them could be preaching that day, but sometimes they also just have a completely separate preaching pastor. And so the executive pastor is basically the guy that runs the business and facilities sides of things.
Mm.
And he is there every Sunday, and it is his job to open doors, manage sound, lock things, turn on HVAC. You know, if anything breaks, you go to him, and he is the guy that deals with all of that. He also deals with any of the like money things, collections, things of that sort. You've got your, you know, family minister or whatever word, you know, you use, family pastor, who is really the guy that manages all of the volunteers. So if there is a volunteer asking about anything, he is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the lead pastor, who is, you know, the guy that usually is in charge of the whole thing, right? He's the kind of top pastor, or senior pastor is what they call him sometimes. And he will kind of like be the one managing things, but he actually goes up onto what they call the stage fairly rarely.
Mm-hmm.
But he's really kind of like behind the scenes, making sure it all runs. And then you've got the preaching pastor, who's the guy that actually delivers the sermon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to divide up all of those, I think is a good idea. We'll see if my business manager is listening to this or but I've even thought about requiring, you know, our business manager and our youth minister and our faith formation leader and our evangelization director and, you know, all of these different people to be there at all of the masses with me.
Mm.
So that, you know, there is a whole cadre of people to deal with all of the issues. And, you know, they've got keys to everything. They know where everything is. Because you can say like, oh, we'll just find volunteers to do that. But at the end of the day, people want to talk to the person that can actually solve the problem or actually give them the real answer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they go to the priest, because they know that the priest has all the keys, knows where stuff is, and, you know, has the real answer. But it's like, well, the priest is actually, he needs to be focusing on prayer at this time and offering the holy sacrifice of the Mass.
And not just before Mass, I mean, even afterwards.
Yeah.
Being able to have someone to direct people to would be really helpful, you know?
Yes.
Because I don't think people realize the after Mass handshakery is very difficult. Not that you don't like talking to people. You do love everybody. It's just, that's where people bring you their problems, and it'd be nice to have a little bit of kind of buffer to where you could send somebody like, well, you know, I think you need to go talk to this person.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. And also just kind of what's going on spiritually within the priest, right? He just received communion. He just attended Mass, and he really wants to make a Thanksgiving, right? Because this is obviously an important moment in his life as well. But not everybody gets that. And in fact, probably the ones that you need to have that, you know, shiny smiley face and a great handshake for are the ones who leave immediately at the end of Mass, because they're the ones who perhaps don't have as developed of spiritual lives or as developed of faith. And it's going to be that human interaction that brings them along eventually closer to Christ.
Right.
And so, you know, it's important that the priest be out there shaking people's hands, but also, man, it's a hard time for the priest.
There are times I put the kibosh on it and I say, hey, I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing it this week.
This is not happening.
This is not happening.
I'll do that when I'm sick. I'm just like, I'm sick. I'm exhausted. I don't want to get you guys sick. I love you all, but I'm not shaking your hands.
Yeah. Bye.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think that this is just a good conversation we need to be having. We're not here to say, oh, priest life is miserable, but there are challenges. And when we see things happen in the larger, you know, national church and the larger global Catholic church, we do need to take these things seriously. And so if you do see your priest struggling, maybe offer to help, realize just kind of what's on his shoulders and what he's trying to juggle. You know, it's not just one thing. It's probably about 20 things. And whenever I'll say this and then we can sign off. But I remember I watched an anti-Catholic video where a guy was like, I don't want to be like a priest because they're poor and virgins. And I was like, we have responsibility for more things than you do.
Well, and like Jesus, you mean?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, we can close our conversation here, but want to thank everybody for listening. Please pray for your priests. Please be nice to them. Tell them they're doing a good job because they really need that. But this has been the Catholic Link podcast. The podcast are Busy Catholics. My name is Father Rob Adams. I was joined by Father George Elliott. You can find all of our previous stuff at catholiclink.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.